The U of I faces the USC Trojans in tomorrow's night's semifinal, while Florida State faces UCLA in an earlier game. The national title, Saturday night at 7:30. That's our noon hour look at news. Our next look at WILL News comes this afternoon at 4:30 during All Things Considered.
Support for WILL comes from Blue Moon Farm in Urbana. This Saturday, Blue Moon Farm will be inside Lincoln Square Mall from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. More information on organic vegetables this holiday season can be seen at bluemoonfarm.biz.
A mild and damp weather pattern is in place across the Midwest for the next 2 days. Low pressure developing in the plains. That means periods of rain with embedded thunderstorms can be expected tonight. Across Missouri and Illinois, a strong cold front will sweep across the Midwest by tomorrow morning. The rain will end, but we'll see much cooler temperatures thanks to a blustery northwest wind. High temperatures today will range from the low 30s across northern Wisconsin to the mid-60s across western Kentucky and the boot heel of Missouri. Overnight low temperatures will range from near 20 degrees across northwestern Iowa to the mid-50s across southeastern Missouri and western Kentucky. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon, occasional showers with a chance of thunderstorms. Expect a high in the upper 50s. It will be breezy with the wind from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to around 30 miles per hour. Tonight, occasional showers with a chance of thunderstorms early with another chance of showers after midnight. The temperature will hold near steady in the mid-50s. It will be windy. The wind will be out of the southwest at 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to around 35 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 55. The temperature then falling into the 40s tomorrow afternoon. Another breezy day in store for us tomorrow with the wind from the west at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to around 30. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, much colder. The low 28, the wind out of the northwest from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Friday, sunny with a high of 38. Friday night and Saturday, partly cloudy. The low Friday night in the mid-20s and the high Saturday in the upper 30s. At noon Central Time, cloudy across both Illinois and Indiana. Many locations reporting drizzle or rain. At Rockford, it was 46 at O'Hare and Bloomington, 49, 53 at Mattoon. 48 degrees at South Bend, it was 53 at Lafayette and Indianapolis. Terre Haute checked in with 52 degrees. Willard Airport had a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, 53 degrees. The dew point, 50. The relative humidity, 89%. The wind out of the south at 15. The barometric pressure, 30 even and falling. And at 1240, 51 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. The classic brand Kodak is trying to stay relevant. The U.S. photography pioneer Kodak is struggling to survive. The company is being dogged by bankruptcy rumors. Its stock has tumbled to less than a dollar, yet Kodak is sounding optimistic, at least in public. It expects strong fourth-quarter earnings. Zach Seward from the Innovation Project, a reporting project in upstate New York, sent NPR this story from Kodak's hometown, Rochester.
Linda now is like a lot of native Rochesterians.
I grew up in a Kodak family. Aunts, uncles, father, brother-in-law.
Now herself even worked at Kodak. As a college kid in the late 60s, now was paid 10 bucks an hour for a summer job making sure film canisters didn't let in light. But now, more than 40 years later, she's in a Rochester area Best Buy, helping her husband pick out a new camera, and Kodak is not part of the conversation.
Unfortunately, no.
Why?
I don't think the quality of the Kodak cameras are as good as they used to be.
During holiday shopping season on Kodak's home turf, you might assume this is troubling news for the imaging giant, but according to Kodak, you'd be wrong.
We expect a very, very good fourth quarter.
That's Kodak CEO Antonio Perez. Kodak wouldn't talk to us on tape for this story, but Perez spoke on the company's investor conference call last month, saying that things are looking up.
All four of our digital growth businesses will expand in the fourth quarter.
But none of those are camera businesses. Kodak even recently sold off its image sensor division, reportedly for a couple hundred million dollars. Kodak has long been in the process of a painful transformation that's seen tens of thousands of Kodak workers in the Rochester area lose their jobs. But when Perez talks about the company's digital transformation and the new Kodak, he's talking about four growth businesses in particular, three of which serve the commercial printing industry.
They will be the nucleus of the new Kodak.
In short, Kodak is becoming a company that makes high-end printing equipment, not a consumer staple whose brand once rivaled Coca-Cola's in global ubiquity.
That's fading away by design.
Mark Kaufman is an analyst who follows Kodak for Rafferty Capital Markets. He's seen the company's stock plummet in the last year, driven by investor fears that Kodak is on its last legs. A recent move to tap a revolving credit line, the shuffling of key legal advisors, and higher-than-expected losses have sunk Kodak shares to under a dollar. But Kaufman says there is some reason for optimism.
This is an important quarter because, well, they've actually started to make some inroads in getting the cash on the balance sheet.
Kaufman expects Kodak to finish up the year in relatively decent shape. An upcoming patent sale could net the company billions. Several of Kodak's massive $3 million printing presses are coming online in Asia, and once they're up and running, they run exclusively on Kodak inks and printheads. Kaufman even says a seasonal surge in movie film and catalog printing creates an inflow of cash.
If you really think about it, who the end users are, they're more businesses than individual consumers.
But that's the one you recommend, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
which brings us back to Linda Now at the Rochester area Best Buy. Of the four pillars of the new Kodak, only one, desktop inkjet printing, is consumer-oriented. While Kodak digital cameras have been relegated to the Best Buy website because of poor sales, you can get a Kodak printer at the store, but Now isn't buying. She already has a printer made by Canon, but when she prints out photos at home, she does use Kodak paper.
I try to keep some loyalty there.
For NPR News, I'm Zach Seward in Rochester, New York.
At this time of year, Christmas wreaths hang from the sides of homes, on front doors, and even from the hoods of cars and trucks. The wreaths serve as a symbol of celebration. They can also serve as a symbol of honor and remembrance, as was the case in Keokuk, Iowa, over the weekend. Jason Parrott reports.
It would be hard to blame someone for staying home Saturday morning. While it was a bright, sunny day with barely a cloud in the sky, it was cold. The temperature was about 25 degrees at 10:45, not counting a slight wind. But the weather was not going to impact Susie Glasscock's plan for the day. She says there is nothing she would rather be doing on the second Saturday in December than standing in the middle of the Keokuk National Cemetery.
It's just such a reverent place. You cannot help but think of all of the people. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you're safe in your bed, what these people have given, they've given their all to make that possible for us.
Glasscock has been a driving force behind the Wreaths Across America ceremony in Keokuk. The national event got its start 20 years ago when a wreath maker from Maine decided to donate his surplus to the National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia, to be laid at the graves of fallen soldiers. This practice occurred for more than a decade with little notice until 2005. That's when similar events started to spring up in national cemeteries across the country. The Keokuk National Cemetery hosted its first ceremony in 2006. Glasscock says people can donate $15 any time during the year to have a wreath placed on a specific grave.
Then when it comes about the end of November, the wreaths are ordered. We electrically transfer the money to the Wreaths Across America project. And depending on how much we have raised, that is how we get our wreaths.
This year, more than 200 wreaths arrived in Keokuk. The 20-inch balsam fir wreaths with bright red velvet bows provide a sharp contrast to the white tombstones. They are set up by Glasscock, local students, and members of the public the day before the ceremony. The ceremony actually turns out to be the shortest part of the entire process. It takes roughly the same length of time as your average Saturday morning cartoon. But for those who participate, this half hour is something they will never forget.
Color Guards, Color Bears, Tent Hut, present on.
During the ceremony, seven special wreaths are propped up on thin metal stands facing the roughly 50 people in attendance. Those wreaths honor the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, and Coast Guard, along with the Merchant Marines and the Tomb of the Unknown and MIA/POWs. John Ellis and Aaron Grayson had the honor of placing two of those wreaths.
Now call on John Ellis, who will lay a holiday wreath in memory of those.
John Ellis served in the U.S. Air Force for 4 years. He is now a captain with the Burlington Composite Squad of the Civil Air Patrol.
It is a great honor to be part of this. For me, it really pleases me to see that this is happening for all the men and women of the military.
Ellis says the experience of carrying the Air Force wreath is a little overwhelming.
It's hard to explain. it's a somber affair. You're remembering the fallen, and if it wasn't for them, then we wouldn't have the freedom that we have today.
We now call on Aaron Grayson, who will lay a holiday wreath in memory of those who have served.
Aaron Grayson is originally from New York, but he is currently stationed in Keokuk, serving on the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Scioto.
You can't even put it in words, actually, what it is. For people who have paved the way and who have, like I said, all the fallen soldiers who have been able to do their part, just for me to stand here and to, the least I could do is honor and lay a wreath for him.
Grayson says picking up that wreath and carrying it to the site where it will sit for the next 6 weeks is quite an honor.
One wreath, one person holding it, you know, it's a lot of honor. Me basically representing the whole Coast Guard and everyone that's here in the cemetery, pretty much representing them.
Commander Reed, take charge of your firing party and salute the fallen.
When Susie Glasscock looks out over the Keokuk National Cemetery, she is reminded of how proud she is to live in the United States of America.
Whether you're, you know, for the wars or against the wars, it's the military and the people that make up the military that we're honoring here.
There is also a personal connection for Glasscock.
I have three uncles buried in the National Cemetery, my brother-in-law, some very dear friends, and I have a number of service people in my family. So this has always been a real, you know, passion of love for me to do this.
Glasscock says it is in their memories and the memories of so many others that she will continue working to grow Keokuk's Wreaths Across America event. She says the goal is to one day walk into the National Cemetery on the second Saturday in December and see one wreath for each of the more than 5,000 soldiers buried there. I'm Jason Parrott.
Support comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings this weekend in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Friday from 4 to 7 p.m., it's a Cabernet Sauvignon tasting, and Saturday from 3 to 6:30 p.m., features a champagne tasting.